I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Today, we continue our special coverage of Hurricane Katrina 2 years after the storm. Later, we're going to talk about how historic ties between France and the Crescent City were revived post-Katrina, and we'll visit with the Soul Queen of New Orleans. But first, we know we've been talking a lot about New Orleans, but by the time Hurricane Katrina made landfall 2 years ago along the Louisiana and Mississippi coasts, it was clear that the impact would be felt far beyond those two states and one city. The evacuation order sent hundreds of thousands of people to the highways. A large number of them made their way to Houston, Texas. And as conditions in New Orleans got even worse, Houston's Mayor Bill White turned the convention center complex into a shelter and welcomed tens of thousands more. 2 years later, 100,000 evacuees are believed to have remained in Houston. Their triumphs and struggles are adding a new chapter to the story of what was already one of the country's fastest growing and most diverse cities. I'm joined by Mayor Bill White of Houston. Welcome, Mr. Mayor. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Great to be with you, Michelle.
Would you take us back to the first days of the hurricane? Even before it hit, you'd already taken some steps to help out. I mean, you'd forward deployed some emergency personnel, as I remember. But I wanted to ask if you remember what you were thinking about. Did you think it would have such a profound effect on your city?
Well, I had read a couple of books about the levee system and that had been out there. People were well aware that it was vulnerable. And I do remember when I heard that the levees had broke, which made it different than simply a hurricane event. It was the destruction of a major American city. We called people together and said that our lives would be changed for a long, long time.
And do you remember thinking what that would mean for your city?
Well, I knew that it would mean that we would have a city within a city simply because we're the closest big city to New Orleans. We have many ties to New Orleans. A freeway goes from New Orleans. And even before the levees broke, most people in New Orleans had obeyed the mandatory evacuation order and were at hotel rooms, staying with friends, family, churches. Red Cross shelters had been full well before the levees broke. And we knew that a lot of folks would not be going back home for a long, long time, if ever.
And Mr. Mayor, I have to tell you, I was at the Astrodome when the evacuees began to arrive, and I can tell you I personally witnessed some astonishing acts of kindness. And the city and you have been very much praised for your actions in welcoming folks to your city. But now there's a sense, I think, that the welcome mat is wearing thin. Do you think that Houston has compassion fatigue?
Well, we do. You know, they don't call it a disaster for nothing, Michelle. I can't tell you that we want another Hurricane Katrina, not Houston, not America, not the people of the Gulf Coast. So there was a lot of struggle. It's not easy to make the transition. That has imposed some burdens on our community. But then again, we take a lot of pride in the fact that we were really, you know, a shining light in a sea of chaos at a dark time, and we're able to provide comfort to our fellow Americans. So there's a lot of civic pride about the special role that Houston played. You know, over 200,000 people came here. And as you mentioned in the lead-up, there's about 100,000 that still remain. Most of them have gotten on with their lives, gotten jobs, kids in school, which is what we intended, to put people in a place where they could live with independence and dignity, not in these trailer cities.
How did you get the idea to start moving people into permanent housing very quickly?
You know, in a way, it's common sense because we can't recreate everything about people's lives in the past when they've been hit by disaster. All of us have had personal family tragedies or disasters or deaths of loved ones. The key is how we react to that. We got to look to the future with support from other people. So we wanted Houstonians, hundreds of thousands, to help people get into places where they could live independently, so long as they were capable of living independently, were not, you know, needed assisted living, get kids in school, get job training if you needed job training, get a job if you needed a job, and be looking to the future so that the evacuees could make their own choices about their lives rather than having those dictated by somebody in Washington or anywhere else.
Nevertheless, when you read the sort of comments to, you know, the comment boards at the newspapers, or you read letters to the editor and so forth, there does seem to be an image that people have of the evacuees of being, well, there are two issues that seem to emerge, well, three. the schools, the impact on the schools, the impact on the crime rate, and a sense that some people seem to have that too many evacuees still have not gotten on with their lives. So I just wanted to ask you, are any of those impressions the reality as far as you're concerned?
Well, on crime, unfortunately, the people of New Orleans had been afflicted with one of the highest violent crime rate in the country. There were some tiny, tiny percentage of the evacuees that had preyed on other people in New Orleans, and we made clear that if they tried to do so here, that we would arrest them and put them in a housing program called the jail, and we did, and we saw crime rates drop. I think it's wrong under our, ethics as a nation, under most of our faith, to judge the many by the few, and I'll tell you what, nobody was more happy than groups of evacuees at our efforts to make sure that people who committed violent crimes against others were rounded up. On the schools, it's been a great success story. We had special programs put in place, mainly private funded. We didn't get any help from the federal government at all on this, in order that some of the kids who were at low-performing schools could be brought up to grade level in Houston. It took about 24 months to do it, but we've done it. It required special tutoring, summer programs, involvement of parents in a very special way. It was extra work, but what job is more important than educating young people in our nation? And in any population, maybe there'll be some folks that are more motivated or less, but the vast majority of people who came here were working in New Orleans then, they're working here now. Some are just struggling to get by. Some of us removed their reestablished their businesses, but there's not a lot of malingerers. They're just a group of Americans like any other group of Americans with their strengths and weaknesses.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Bill White, the mayor of Houston, about Katrina 2 years later. Well, there seem to be two narratives emerging about how Houston has responded, how the people from New Orleans have responded in Houston. And one narrative says this is almost a laboratory look at the culture of poverty. They're saying, there's a whole group of folks who may have brought a legacy of dysfunction, with them, and that it's a question of whether their new circumstances will sort of change their approach to some of these issues that they may have brought with them. There's another school of thought that there's a group of folks who are almost like war survivors, profoundly traumatized by experiences that few of us have had of losing everything, and that fact should be recognized. I wonder if either of those comes closer to your point of view.
Well, there are some people who've been traumatized by this experience. Americans through the centuries have experienced great tragedy from time to time, but we're resilient people. I found folks from southern Louisiana to be, tough, resilient, practical people by and large. Sometimes there is need for special counseling, and we ask repeatedly for social workers and people with psychiatric social work backgrounds, some geriatric social workers from FEMA and the federal government. That by and large has not appeared, but we've used local funds, mainly private funds, in order to work through these cases. It is traumatic for a young person to be on a roof for 4 days and be rescued by helicopter, but we've been trying to provide support from those folks. And I think it's also true that some people, I've literally been told over 100 occasions by individual evacuees that they now see some opportunities that they didn't see. New Orleans is a great city that commands a lot of loyalty from people who are there. Sometimes it's good for all of us to be taken a little bit out of our comfort level and challenged, and some of the evacuees have really viewed it as a challenge, and I think tens of thousands have availed themselves of job training programs, and it's been very rewarding to see the result.
What about you? How do you think you've been changed by this experience?
I'm tired of people who say that things just can't be done. They're too big. We can't educate our kids to keep up with the East Asian education system. We can't provide emergency health care to those who need it. When we did so, we set up two hospitals within a period of 24 hours. You saw one of them there at the Astrodome Complex. And what I think of, there's community will, and you ask all the institutions in a community, faith-based institutions, nonprofit institutions, businesses, civic groups, volunteer groups, to assist and work shoulder to shoulder with government, and you don't really care so much about who, you know, who's in charge, that in this country we can do just about anything, and we shouldn't give up our hopes and dreams of being a country that has opportunity for all.
You're a businessman, and you pride yourself on being businesslike in your governance. Do you think that there's a cost-benefit analysis of how the newcomers are costing in contrast to what they are contributing in terms of economic activity and whatever they've brought to the city?
Well, definitely. You know, we try to deliver services very inexpensively. We house more people in apartments at about 5% of the cost that FEMA, you know, has paid for trailers, housing an equal number of people. So we're effective, and we don't believe in wasting money. But the reality is that if you have 100,000 people who are productive members of the community, they contribute to the economy, they do their part in this community, we're a stronger city by and large because of that. Yes, there's problems when you have a bigger city. And no, we are not trying to keep people here who want to go back to New Orleans. Actually, we've anybody who wants to go back, we believe that they ought to have freedom. That's the most important thing, that the individual evacuee is the king and gets to decide where they want to live, not be herded one place or another. But I think our community is strengthened by having a lot of people here.
Mr. Mayor, we only have about 30 seconds left, so I did want to ask you, what would you like the country to learn from this experience, from Houston's experience?
We ought to ask ourselves what Homeland Security really means. We ought to think very deeply about how we respond to the needs of fellow Americans, and we shouldn't give up on our needs at home.
All right, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Bill White is the mayor of Houston. He joined us from Houston by phone. Mayor White, thank you so much for speaking with us.